This is Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out, and I'm delighted to be talking to two ladies, both poets, both winners. I'm speaking with Kirsten Bridger. She was the winner of last year's Mark Fisher Poetry Award and this year's judge, and one of the winners, Ellen Metrick, whom you may know if you read the Norwood Post. And so both of them will be answering questions about writing poetry and the upcoming event. Ladies, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kirsten, you begin. At what point in your life did you start making marks on the page?
I think pretty early I was writing song lyrics, but because I am terribly unmusical, it sort of slowly wound its way into poetry.
Okay.
And I think in high school I was sort of grappling with issues, both academic and personal, and that's just how they found their answer.
Wonderful. And you, Ellen?
It's very similar. I started early. My mom gave me a diary with the little locking key when I was, in early grade school, and I loved it. And so just journaling was early for me. And I remember writing a poem in fourth grade about Christopher Columbus. And then same as Kirsten, like later, just it was the way I could sort of sort things out for myself was in poems. It just sort of came that way. And my aunt, when I was born, apparently my aunt read me all kinds of poetry from the time I was born. So I don't remember it, but it helped, I'm sure.
Lovely. Wonderful. So, Kirsten, you again. Does a person choose to become a poet, or does poetry choose you?
I think that initially poetry chooses you. You get fragments of words and verse and rhyme and rhythm in your head, but then eventually you have to show up for the work and you have to choose poetry. You have to say, I'm going to ignore you or I'm going to accept you, and you have to show up for the page and actually do something. So that would be my short answer.
Okay, yes, we could probably write a book on that one. Ellen?
Exactly.
Ellen, you? What's your
answer?
You
know, I thought we might have different thoughts on that, but I'm the same. Same thing. You have to make a choice.
So initially you get tapped on the shoulder, and eventually you have to embrace the monster and or reject.
Exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, we're drawn to certain things, so yeah. Yep.
So, Kirsten, where do you find your muses?
I think the same as when I was a angst-ridden teenager. I think any time I'm grappling with a hard issue or even something like beautiful and wonderful, I'll take a walk and the lyric will sort of, pop into my head. And it's later that I sit down and craft it and think about how I want to say it and the context. But I'm always getting by walking, I and the road, my goodness. I think anybody that lives in these parts of Colorado is driving a lot. And when I'm driving, I think that it funnels my thoughts. And I think about it as a metaphor for my life. And, I think that's the short answer. We could talk all day about that.
Yes, we could. I mean, I was going to add to that. Yes, I'm aware that the road, is a major through line in your work, particularly in your allusions to Zizi Wei, who's a mutually,
yes.
we both admire as a painter.
Oh, incredible. So stark, those landscapes. I mean, I think he's what Edward Hopper, does for sort of building and architecture. Zizi Wei does for the road and the landscape of just, what could be, what might have been. It's just so aching. I love it.
I think Zizi Wei is your poetry written in paint. And I do. Ellen, so you and your muses.
My muses, a lot of outdoors moving. Same, like if I'm walking or hiking, especially when I'm alone. Really, actually, mostly when I'm alone. And then dreams. I do a lot. In fact, this book that just came out is a lot of poems that were inspired by or actually just are dreams.
Wonderful. So. Wonderful. Now, Kirsten, this is all about you since you're the judge. Here comes the judge. So,
here comes the judge.
Yeah. So So it's a two-part question. How many poems in all were submitted for this year's prize? I believe last year when you were the winner, there was a record number. And then segue into the selection process. How do you wind up choosing the ones you choose from so much wealth?
There were 96 poems this year, and it was record-breaking. And not only 96, but 96 amazing poems. My first round, I was only able to discard 27, and of those 27, none of them were bad. They just weren't up to the rest of them. And I tried to be just as, I knew that I only had a couple slots to fill, and so I had to be brutal. And I really, really took seriously the idea of the contest that it states, you know, prizes will be awarded to the entry that best exhibits the qualities of originality, novelty, complex meaning, linguistic skill, and wit. And so anything that did not, you know, I had to discard. I asked myself, was it fresh? Was it interesting? Did it make me think? Did I want to reread it? You know, there was a couple that were so dense that I just put in the pile of, okay, I'm going to get back to these because I'm sure they're gold, but they're heavy. And so I had that pile, and then I had the pile of just things that I loved. And Ellen's poem definitely was on those that I just loved immediately, so for sure. But it was difficult, but it was a joy as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that. And Ellen, Kirsten just gave you the perfect segue. Just as a teaser to the Mark Fisher Poetry Evening, again, that is Thursday, May 31st, 6 p.m. at The Bean, would you please read your winning poem?
I would love to. Thanks for asking. This poem is called Putting Away the Cutlery. Tonight, alone in the kitchen after dinner, I watch snow fly out of the darkness, an audible stipple that prickles windows white, and I realize I love the forks the most. There's much to praise in the spoon's bowl, its round hold on the universe. It scoops and turns what it sees upside down or gently curves to nourish an inverted breast to suckle. The knives, too, have their place. Their straightforward edges are to be admired, as is their ability to cut through thick flesh to red center, expose heat, free juice. But tonight, it's the forks chiming in their beds. This song gives me pause as I toss their kin home. I lift out a handful again and toss each one slow from low and high. Amazed, I am only now hearing this resounding ting on ting. I listen anew to the steel sing I have not noticed 101,000 times. The song that has been singing itself for lifetimes in drawers and silver chests, baskets, in slim cadenas in the court of Catherine de' Medici, and even on the silent white-clothed tables through centuries of hands and ears. This, I realize, is a song heard by ancient Greeks and Egyptians, made by fondue forks, pickle, salad, and pastry utensils, by the tines of pie and pitchfork, olive and oyster, serving, cheese, berry, carving, asparagus, and beef forks, one that may stay inside this kitchen tonight, accenting the rhythm of snow drumming blank windows, heard most often without notice around the world, every moment of every day, forks pinning together the ear of every being within hearing of this everyday song.
Oh, bravo. And thank you for that. And thank you both of you for this wonderful conversation. Everyone, once again, Mark Fisher Poetry Prize at the Steaming Bean, Thursday, May 31st, 6 p.m. It is brought to you by Telluride Arts.
Thank you, Susan.